let's be aware. There's a lot of Singaporeans here today. How many are there? There's a Korean too. Thai people like to try to make their faces look like Koreans. But they can't really pull it off. A lot of us struggle trying to find happiness in this world. We think we're going to be happy from this situation, and we struggle through it. We don't get that much happiness. We find a new situation to try to get happiness out of that. Like even in the past, how about plastic surgery? People who do this plastic surgery, then that to try to look good. In the past, there were just facelifts. That was it. They just pulled their skin back. Now there's all kinds of plastic surgery. You do one, you think you're going to be happy. You're not. Continue. It's hard to feel satisfied with the way we are, the way we look. We struggle. These days we like to copy others. We want to be like other people. It's really tiring. It's much more tiring than is necessary. Like, for example, we want to get the mobile phones or the smartphones that other people have. We got to struggle to get money, save money, so that we can get the things that we want. We're fooled, deceived, hungry for things all the time. Our mind is hungry for things all the time, but, you know, economics and business, they try to really tempt us and turn us into slaves of materialism, trying to feed our infinite desire. And we never have enough, it doesn't matter what we do, we never seem to have enough money or have enough things because we're slaves, consumers. Let's be aware. Let's try to be aware. Desire will manipulate our mind if we're not aware. Let's breathe out and be aware. Breathe in, be aware. Keep being aware. But let's not force the mind to try to be aware all the time. It's okay for the mind to wander off. But when the mind wanders off, we know so. When we do, we're aware for a moment. Then we get lost again in thought. We become aware of that again. It's fine to get lost in thought or for the mind to wander off, but let's not wander off for long. Keep practicing in the way Rongpa teaches. Once we're able to become aware in this way, we can start learning the truth of body and mind. Let's not just be aware and stay aware. A lot of people think that's all it's about, is just being aware, but that's just the start. And if we're aware, then we might have mindfulness, and we might have some concentration, but we don't have wisdom. There are a lot of different people and places that teach us to not fabricate anything in the mind and not think anything. But the nature of the mind is to think and fabricate. And they tell people to just keep the mind empty. But wisdom will never arise when that happens. There'll be no chance of liberation because it is in conflict with what the Buddha taught. The Buddha taught, study the truth of the body and mind until we are dispassionate towards body and mind. And once dispassionate, we can liberate. A lot of people listen to what an arahant is like, or make up what they think an arahant is like, and then copy that without trying to gain the wisdom necessary to be in the state of an arahant. They think arahants don't think, and they try not to think. Arahants think. So, there are a lot of teachers that teach emptiness and hope that they keep their mind empty and then they'll turn into an arahant. There's no fluke like that. So a lot of us have wrong view. Let's and try to make the mind empty and silent. They're thinking there's something called emptiness, vipassana, but there is no foundation of mindfulness that is emptiness. It's all about body and mind. And the Buddha taught morality, concentration or samadhi, and wisdom. These are the threefold training, not emptiness. Emptiness is just a realm that we can put our mind into. Once we're experts at watching the mind, when we put our minds in the realm of emptiness, if we're an expert at seeing the mind, we'll see that there's still change in there, and that it isn't the ultimate path. A lot of the great masters say, don't allow the mind to stay empty and neutral or indifferent. Let it move. So a lot of this is based in wrong view. Right view is not trying to eliminate suffering, but study suffering, know suffering. Mostly we're running away from suffering, like putting the mind in an empty space is running away from suffering, not knowing suffering. We have to notice why the body is suffering. Let's see, when we're sitting, can we sit still? No. We have to move eventually. Suffering is oppressing the body. What about lying down? Can we just lie still for very long? No. We have to move this way and move that because the body is oppressed by suffering. We have to keep changing and realize that every single position that we put the body in and every single physical activity that we do has suffering oppressing it. One moment we're hungry, one moment we're thirsty, one moment we're hot, we're cold, we have to pee or poo. Suffering is oppressing us until one day we get old, sick, and die. So let's see the truth of this. Keep being aware. Let's not just hold awareness and not learn, not study the body and mind, holding awareness, keeping it big and beautiful. This isn't the teachings of the Buddha, but a lot of people believe that to be the teachings of the Buddha because they believe a particular teacher rather than believing the Buddha. There was someone who told him, there was a monk that was practicing this emptiness practice, and he went out to get food. He actually went and ate food in the evening. He sat there with women and did all kinds of things that break the moral rules for monks. But his excuse was that, everything is empty. Sitting there with women at a table, no need for a moral code. If we don't have a proper moral code and we don't have proper samadhi, there's no chance. Doesn't matter how empty we like to make our mind. if we get rid of the threefold training of morality, samadhi, and wisdom, then we get rid of the chance for practicing the Buddha's teachings. We get rid of the chance of freedom from suffering or true liberation. Once enlightenment happens, there is a review of what impurities have disappeared from the mind. If there's an arahant, if enlightenment happens at the level of arahant, there's this review that sees there's nothing left, no impurity left at all. Many people just think, oh, everything's empty, everything's empty. Some people read Zen and see that, oh, don't attach to this, don't attach to that, this is nothing, that's nothing, this is empty, that's empty. And then people, oh, I like it, this is the truth, this is the one mind, the true mind. Now, is there really a true mind or a one mind? Yes, that's the mind of the arahant, but nothing you can form or fabricate. You can do have you ever seen like Zen cartoons where people are falling asleep and the Zen master hits them with a stick when they're doing their meditation? It's not just about sitting in meditation. We have to practice mindfulness in our daily lives. One day, if we practice correctly, we will know what this one mind or true mind really is. Instead of just talking about it, and happy about it, and trying to shove our minds into it. We have to do all the work that the Buddha taught, all of the threefold training. We have to develop the path, the Noble Eightfold Path. So if we don't have morality, we have to learn to become moral and try to become moral. Just the five precepts are sufficient. Some of us, too many precepts is too difficult for us, and then we feel bad if we break them. Five is sufficient, and then let's be aware. Let's notice this body and mind as they move and work. And when defilements arise, mindfulness sees them, and then we won't act in accordance with defilements, and thus we won't be immoral. Immorality happens when we're being manipulated by defilements or impurities. So let's be aware when we feel depressed, let's know so. When our mind is scattered, let's know so. When we're wandered off, let's know so. After we have morality, let's practice samadhi. Samadhi is a stability of mind. It's the opposite of a busy or scattered mind. Now, samadhi, there are many different kinds, and some kinds of samadhi are bad kinds or immoral kinds. Some samadhi is something that comes up in every mental moment. Some moments are good and wholesome, and some are not good or unwholesome. But we have to learn the type of samadhi that is wholesome. And this is the type that has mindfulness along with the samadhi. If there isn't mindfulness with our samadhi, then it isn't a wholesome type of samadhi, because samadhi is there in every wholesome mind. Mindfulness, or sati, is there in every wholesome mind. And no unwholesome thing can come into the mind that has mindfulness in it in that moment. In the old days, and actually some people in these days too, when people think of samadhi or meditation, they begin immediately with controlling their body, only keeping this position or that position, staying still. One of his teachers said that, hey, you can even do a headstand, be doing meditation. It has nothing to do with what posture you're in. Put your head on the floor, put your feet in the air, and you can still do samadhi and mindfulness. His teacher, of course, said it in a very polite way, using polite words. Putting your head on the ground and your feet in the air, you can still practice meditation or practice mindfulness. Lumpa doesn't say it in as nice of a way as his teacher does. So let's have the mindfulness that sees the hindrances, especially the mind that moves out to see, to hear, to think, the different common channels that the mind moves out to, and then less common the mind goes to the tongue, to the body, to feel, to the nose, to smell. The mind thinks the most, and then sees and hears the next most. Like if we're watching TV, sometimes our eyes are seeing the TV. But when our eyes are seeing the TV, we don't know what's going on in the story. We have to hear. And once we hear, our eyes go blurry. We're just depending on what we saw a moment ago. We're depending on our memory to see. We're not actually seeing when we're hearing. And then we hear for a bit, and once we hear for a bit, we have to think to understand what we heard. Even when we're listening to Lungpa now, we can hear that we can't hear every sentence he's saying, because we're switching between hearing what he says and then thinking about it. The mind is running to the mind to think, and running to the eyes to see, and running to the ears to hear. The mind moves and gets lost. And let's get to know and see that it's doing this. And then soon enough, we'll start to very quickly be able to notice the mind goes out, and we know it very, very quickly. The mind goes out again, we know it again very, very quickly. Then the mind will oscillate between getting lost and knowing, getting lost and knowing. It won't be lost for very, very long times. So we can practice the path of wisdom if we know what we're doing by just seeing the mind get lost and then know, lost and then know. If we're not practicing correctly, we'll get lost and know, and then we'll be upset that we got lost. Get aggravated or annoyed. If the mind is scattered and busy, and then we know that it's so, then the mind will see that this restless mind or busy mind is impermanent. It just lasts temporarily and then disappears. And then there is the aware mind. And the aware mind can't last either. Every type of mind arises and then falls. So let's try to see this and know this, because we will not only have mindfulness and samadhi when we're practicing this, but we'll also be able to gain the wisdom that things are impermanent. A lot of people want their mind to not get lost, instead of walking the path of wisdom, right? Everybody here wants to be good. He thinks that all of us here don't want the mind to get lost. Right? What can I do so that I can always be knowing and the mind can't get lost? Right? We want one thing and we don't want the other. Therefore, the mind is not equanimous to phenomena. The mind wants correct samadhi. It doesn't want the mind to be restless or scattered. Every time we think about the practice, we think, okay, what should I do now? Lungpa used to be that way. He'd wake up in the morning and think, oh, what did I do today for my mindfulness practice? What should I do so that I can quickly enlighten? It took a long time to understand that we're not practicing so that we know all the time or be aware all the time. We're not practicing so that we don't get lost. But we're practicing to see that the lost mind is impermanent, the aware mind is impermanent. We can't keep it, we can't hold it. The fact that it isn't under our control is anatta, the truth of non-self, the characteristic of non-self. So we become aware, and let's not just hold awareness or stay aware. Let's walk the path of wisdom, have the mindfulness that sees our own mind. Then we'll be able to have all three of the threefold training going on. Whatever. If we're able to see the defilements come up, they won't be able to manipulate the mind and we won't break our moral code. If the mind moves out to think, and we know so again and again, we have samadhi. Let's listen to the bell. The gong. Why are we listening to it? Do we know why? Because we have ears. We have ears, we hear. Can we control that? Can we stop that? We have ears. And there's a sound. We got all the components. So there's contact, ears to the sound. And we have the consciousness that is aware of this. When we have an eye and there's light, there's a consciousness that this can happen within, well, then seeing happens. But if we're not intending to know a sound, then it's possible we don't hear, right? For example, we might be having a wandering mind and wanders off, and we didn't hear. When we were listening to the gong sound, did we hear the birds chirping? Now you hear the birds chirping, but a moment ago you didn't hear that. Why not? Because there wasn't a movement or an intention towards the sound. So there are a lot of components to making sense contact. There has to be some intention or a movement towards knowing the sight or the sound. There has to be the consciousness that it, or awareness that it happens within. There has to be an eye. Light or sound, a lot of components that cause hearing or seeing. But sometimes we don't hear noisy things, like if we're near, who has a house right near traffic, right by the road, right? Do you hear the traffic all night? Not when you're used to it. Some people have traffic going by all day and they don't hear it because there isn't a movement towards hearing it or an intention in there to hear it. But you come to a temple and there's little tiny insect noises and you hear all of them, even though you don't hear traffic right by your house. There's a bit of a movement towards them. One moment our mind is happy, the next moment unhappy, the one moment good, the next moment bad. None of these things are permanent. Let's know and see the truth that this body and this mind on all things that we make contact with all arise and fall and aren't under any power to control. We keep practicing, we see the truth of nama and rupa, mind and matter. When we see the truth, we start becoming dispassionate. And why is that good to be dispassionate? Because it's in the direction of enlightenment, which is the ultimate happiness. Dispassionate towards the world, ready to transcend it. The mind with ultimate happiness isn't going out to try to find objects in the world to make it happy. It isn't hungry anymore to, oh, I want to see this, I want to hear that, I want to taste this, I want to think about this and think about good things and feel good. Now, can we order the mind to think only good? I don't think so. Right? When we're angry at someone, we think about them all day long. The people that have done nice things for us, how often do we think about that? Right? So let's be aware, have mindfulness. Let's not just be aware only, but have the mindfulness that sees the body and mind will have proper morality, samadhi, and wisdom. Wisdom is seeing the three characteristics. If there is wisdom, the mind will lose its attachment to body and mind and be happy within itself, not be hungry for this and for that. Okay, we're done.